soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a grande crowd, everyone say grande, went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a grande, everyone say grande, and a grande crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. And a great prophet, they said, a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding community. Lord, I pray in these next several moments, your Spirit will do what only you can do by giving every hearer in this room an ear to hear. Not my words, but your words. And God, I pray that anything in myself that would be a hindrance or get in the way, I pray that it will be removed. And like John the Baptist of old prayed, God, I would decrease so that you can increase. Jesus, increase in this room so that you can get all the glory and all the honor in your wonderful and mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. In the mid-1970s, there was a group of scientists and a particular doctor who was a surgeon at the University of California, Los Angeles, had this thought. He thought, maybe I could live forever. And he had this crazy thought, maybe if we could like freeze the human body sometime in the future when medical science got better, that maybe they could like unfreeze my body and bring me back to life. They actually have a term for it, but there's a foundation, and the foundation is called the Alcor Life Extension Foundation. Since the 1970s, there have been over 130-some people that have actually had their bodies frozen in nitrogen. Scottsdale, Arizona, you can go there today. There's actually a building, and there are some famous people. There's actually a baseball player by the name of Ted Williams. He's one of the guys. If you're a sports fan, you know Ted Williams. He's like the last baseball player to hit 400 in the major leagues. And Ted Williams and his son both have their bodies preserved in nitrogen. Now, a little problem with Ted, because in the process of them freezing his body, his head cracked, and so his family is suing these people for, you know, he's already dead, you know. And so it didn't quite work out the way that they thought with this guy, but they're hoping in the future they can repair his brain before they bring him back to life. It's true. I mean, there's people, and the people write their insurance policies, and they leave all this money, and this thing's got foundation, and it's funded for, I mean, I don't know how many years, but it's funded for many, many, many years to come. There is something in the heart of every person that wants to live forever. Every person here, no one wants to die. No one here thinking about death. We celebrated the homecoming of one of our band of brothers last week, David Jordan, and it was a homegoing celebration. But I got to tell you, man, Dave did not want to die. I've never met anyone yet that really wanted to die. I said this many times, I'll say it again. Everyone wants to go to heaven, just not yet. I mean, we all want to go to heaven, but we want to live just a little bit longer. There's a human tenacity, a desire to live. And as we read our story this morning, we see this desire for life. As a matter of fact, when we look at the first couple of verses, we get this concept, we get this idea. I call it my big idea. The big idea this morning is that the transformation of a city takes place when life collides with death and wins. When life collides with death and wins. I want you to look at the first couple of verses with me. I want you to look at the setting surrounding this miracle of this boy, this young boy being raised from the dead. Jesus raised three people from the dead in his ministry. He raised this boy being his very, very first. And the Bible says soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. He went to a town called Nain. This town called Nain is only mentioned once in the Bible, and it's right here. The name Nain literally means pleasant place or beautiful city. That's what it means. It means beautiful city. Everyone say beautiful city. How many of you know another city around here named beautiful city? Anybody know another city around here? Orlando. The city of Orlando literally means beautiful city. The town of Nain was a beautiful city. However, the town of Nain had a problem. The problem is that there was death in this city. the death of a young boy. But it's not just in name that there's death. The Bible says that the wages of sin are death. So not only in Nain, which is named Beautiful City, and it wasn't actually beautiful right at this moment because a young boy had died. Every city on the planet has death in it. Every city on the planet has death in it. Because every city has sin in that community. And the wages of sin, the problems of sin, the brokenness of sin, the divorce of sin, the addictions of sin, all the things that go with living a sinful lifestyle come into a community through this one thing called sin. And the Bible says as Jesus was traveling through this town called Nain, his disciples and a large crowd. I want you just for a moment, I want you to visualize this with me. I want you to picture this with me. If you read just a little bit further back, you'll see that Jesus was ministering life. Everywhere that Jesus went, the Bible says, he went around doing good and he healed all. Everyone say all. I mean Jesus healed all. He fed the multitudes. And now Jesus is in a little town called Capernaum, which is about 6 miles from this town called Nain. It's about 6 miles southwest of Nain. Jesus is on his way, and there's multitudes. In one place in the gospel, it actually said there were over 5,000 men that traveled with Jesus. 5,000. If there's 5,000 men, there's got to be some children and some women around. There's a lot of people that are traveling with Jesus. From the time that in this previous story where Jesus heals a Roman centurion's servant to the time that Jesus arrives in Nain is probably 24 hours. So in a 24-hour period, Jesus travels with thousands of people and he's going to this city called Nain that's only mentioned one time in the Bible and is never mentioned again to minister to one person, to touch one person's life. I want you to see how much God loves you. You're not here by accident today. You're not here by coincidence today. You didn't just get drugged into this place today. There was an appointment. There was a moment. Any person that's ever experienced God, any person that's ever had an encounter with Jesus knows they don't know how it happened, but at some point there was this reality. There was this encounter. There was this collision. There was a large crowd following Jesus, but I also want you to see there was a large crowd following this widow on the way to bury this boy. And it says, as they were approaching the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and a large crowd was with her. In biblical times, when they would go to bury somebody, they would hire professional mourners. So we got two groups of people. Just visualize this. We got this one group of people. It's a large group of people, and they're people representing death. They're actually on their mourning. They got cymbals and they're clanging and they're rending their clothes and they're throwing dust up in the air and they're weeping and all these kinds of things. They represent death in that community. They're actually following a widow who is recognizing that her life is completely broken. She's a widow. In biblical times, to be a widow was not a good thing. Women that live in America ought to thank God for the freedoms and the opportunities that you have. But in the ancient world, listen, women were, they were relegated to second, third class citizens. They had no opportunities. Women in biblical times, it was not a good thing. And as a matter of fact, if they were a widow and they were childless, they were literally committed to indigency. The rest of their life, they would live in total poverty. Then nobody take care of them because every family was responsible to take care of their own. No husband, no son. She was a broken person. She was broken. T.D. Jakes says she was broke, busted, and disgusted. Her life, she looked into the future of her life and it wasn't looking very pretty. Yes, she was terribly grieved that her child died. No, you're not supposed to outlive your child, but she outlived her son. But let me tell you, it was more than that. Because when she looked into the future of her life, it looked pretty hopeless. And maybe you're here today. You see, this is such a stark contrast between life and death. When you begin to look at the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, everywhere he went, he did good. He healed the sick. He set the captive free. He delivered people who were held by addictions and bondages. He gave people a new life and a new start. He spoke unto people and he said, today is a day of salvation. Today you get a day to change your life. I mean, everywhere that Jesus went, it was good. There was life. There was blessing. Multitudes were fed. Needs were met. Children were healed. Blinded eyes were opened. Deaf ears popped. Come on, everywhere that Jesus went, chains that held people back were broken. They were loosed. But over in this other crowd over here, there was death. Come on. You know that crowd. It's easy to be part of that crowd. It doesn't take anything to be part of a crowd of death. I mean, it's just the natural way of life. Living for yourself. Doing whatever you want to do. If it feels good to me, I'm going to experience it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. And the next thing you know, you're looking at your life and you're trying to make it happen. You're trying to figure it out. But the problem is you're on the wrong side. You're part of the mourning group. You're part of the group that life is hard and gloom and difficult. And you listen to some positive motivational guys and you try to stir it up on the inside. And yeah, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And then life hits you again with the railroad train. And bam, you're slammed. I can't do it. I can't do it. And you get back up and you try it again. But see, when you recognize that there are two crowds and you can choose to be part of another crowd, things begin to change in your life. You see, when Jesus passed by, yes, there was a crowd of death, but they had a choice to make. You have a choice to make today. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death. I've set before you life and I've set before you death. Now choose life. Choose life. You make the choice. Listen, I've chosen. I know what it is to be part of that crowd. I still, every once in a while, slide back over to this crowd. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. I need His mercies, which are new every morning. Someone said amen. But oh, come on. This morning, there was someone who came her way. Come on, there was a man who came her way. His name was Jesus. Jesus came her way. You see, the compassion of Jesus, look at verse number 13. And the Bible says, then the Lord saw her, and His heart went out to her and said, the King James Version said, the Lord was full of compassion. Two people in the Bible, this word in the Greek for compassion is used. One is Jesus, the other was a Samaritan. Every time the word compassion is used in reference to Jesus, it's always used in reference to action, taking action. Jesus saw this woman. I want you to know Jesus sees you today. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows your problems. He knows your struggles. He knows your challenges. He knows your failures. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how many times you've messed up. He's seen you. He saw you this morning. He saw you last night. He saw you last week. He sees everything. And you know what? He loves you. He's crazy about you. He is crazy about you. He loves you so much that He gave His life for you. You see, there was a crowd of sin following the pathway of death, and all of a sudden, the pathway of righteousness and salvation shows up. And in this woman, Jesus saw something. He saw a hurt. He saw a need. He saw brokenness. And the Bible says that He said these really sensitive words to her. Don't cry. You're broken. It's not working. You want someone to pat you on the back and tell you it's okay. You can go ahead and cry a little more. Listen, when I'm reading this, if you read the Bible, man, it don't make no sense. What do you mean don't cry? You see, because Jesus had a solution for her life. You don't need to stay in your brokenness. You don't need to stay in your despair. You don't need to stay in your addictions. You don't need to stay in your helplessness. You see, I want you to know there's a solution. There's an answer to your problem. And His name is Jesus. Come on, someone said amen. She lost her husband. She lost her son. She's crying out to God. I got no hope. I got no future. I got no life. One of the things we know about Jesus is that Jesus filled every prophecy of the Old Testament. There's a prophecy in Jeremiah. Listen to this prophecy. It said, there was a voice heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are more. This is what the Lord says, restrain your voice from weeping. And then he says, they will return from the land of the enemy. Jesus spoke to this woman, you don't need to cry anymore. I got a solution for you. Jesus' compassion spilled out into the reality of change into this woman's life. And I want you to see what happens here, right in this verse, verse number 14. The Bible says that Jesus reaches up, and while they're carrying, he touches the coffin. The word touch there in the Greek literally has a connotation behind it that he gripped. He stopped. He stopped death. He stopped the funeral. He stopped your brokenness. He stopped your hurt. He stopped your pain. Right there, Jesus reaches up. He didn't touch the body because that would have made him unclean. And he was a Levitical priest. He was a Nazarene. He didn't touch that dead body. You see, Jesus didn't touch death. Jesus conquered death. Come on. Jesus doesn't live with the dead. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus reached up and he stopped that coffin. Jesus reaches out to you today. And he wants to stop the enemy in his tracks. There ain't no Godzilla in hell. No Godzilla stomping through Tokyo that's going to come against the gates of hell. I want you to know today, God has made you a victor. He has made you a conqueror. He has made you an overcomer. You are the head and not the tail. Listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? Jesus reached up and he stopped death in its tracks. Listen, he's got a solution for you today. He's got a solution for this city. I want you to know, when he reaches up and he touches your life, you will never be the same. It just takes one touch. Thursday, I mean, I'm living this just like you guys are. I got the same stuff and the same temptations and the same trials, and so did Jesus. And Hebrews says he was tempted in all points like we were, but he never gave in. The bummer is I've given in. I've given in to my own desires at times. And Thursday morning, I'm in a place. There's a bunch of pastors and leaders, and they start worshiping. I don't care. I don't care anybody around me. I just go to the altar all by myself. And I'm just down the altar, and I'm just going, God, I need you today. I just need a touch from you. And I'm down there, and all of a sudden, man, something starts happening. I don't know what's happening. And I don't care. And I can feel it. And next thing you know, I'm like weeping. I'm down, and I start, maybe, you know, all these pastors, really well-known pastors in the city there, maybe they're looking at, who cares? Jesus, I just need you. I just need one touch from you. I just need you, Jesus. One touch, and my life has changed. One touch, and I'm delivered from alcohol. One touch, and I'm delivered from tobacco. One touch, and I'm delivered from lust. One touch, and I got eyes that were once blind that now can see. One touch of his amazing grace comes into your life, and it changes you. You go from death to life. Jesus gives life because he loves you. He commanded that boy to rise up. Can you imagine? Just think about it. I mean, come on. The two worlds collide. The world that Jesus is in that's alive, and the crowds of people that are with him, and then the world of death, the world mourning death, brokenness, despair, they collide. And then Jesus commands this boy. He says, get up. He didn't ever touch the boy. He just spoke to it. Listen to me today. Hear me today. Some of you, you're talking about your death too much. You're talking about your problems. You're whining and you're complaining to your mother, your sister, your cousin, your coworker, everybody else, and this. And you're talking about, I don't have this, and I don't have enough of that, enough money, I don't have this, and don't have that. You're talking about it. Jesus didn't talk about it. Jesus spoke to it. Jesus spoke to it. Today I want to challenge you. Stop talking about it. Start talking to it. Stop talking about it. Listen, we need to share with one another. It's all good and appropriate at times, but there are times you got to rise up, because that resurrection power, think about it, that boy just pops up. I mean, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are around, and all of a sudden some boy that's wrapped up in grave clothes, that's been dead for at least 24 hours, he just sets up, bam, and he starts talking, and everybody says, spooky. Oh, come on, you'd be like, what in the world? Ethel, you see that? That boy just sat up and he started talking. Come on. You'd be like, what in the world? What in Sam Hill just happened over there, Ethel? But What happened is that Jesus spoke and his life was changed. Jesus spoke and he was never the same. And look at the next couple verses down. Look what happens here. Then all of a sudden, they were filled with awe and praise. They said, oh, a great prophet is among us. Whoa, God has come to help his people. God is here to help you today. I don't know how to say, he loves you so much. He's here to help you. But you got to make the right choices. You got to choose life. You got to choose to be in the life crowd. Listen, you can hang over in the death crowd. A lot of people do it. Jesus said that crowd is big and it's a wide path. And there's this path over here. It's the crowd of life. You got to make that choice. You got to make that choice. And then, inside of you, you start talking. You start spreading that message of change. And that's exactly what this Christian community is about. It's about bringing the love of Jesus to every man, woman, boy, and girl. It's about spreading the message of the change that's happened inside of me to someone else. So that's exactly what God wants to do in this city. Because he loves not only you, but he loves every person on planet Earth. He's not willing that one person in this city goes to hell. God wants every person to be with him in heaven for eternity and eternity. The message of good news. I have a message of good news for you today. There's a message of hope. His compassion is available for you. I want you to bow your heads right now. I want you to close your eyes. I've asked a couple of questions here today. See, the choices you make today will determine if you're following the crowd of life or you're following the crowd of death. In this room, you need to ask yourself, what crowd am I following? What crowd am I following? What crowd are you in today? The compassion of Jesus among his believers released the miraculous power for changed life. Is there someone, you're a believer, is there someone that you can demonstrate the compassion of Jesus to today? The witness to our city today is proclaimed through the praise and declaration that God is with us. Is there someone you can tell the good news to today? Every head bowed and every eye closed in this room right now. God is here to help you. God is with us to help us. And maybe you're in this room and you've been hanging out in the wrong crowd. You've asked yourself, even this morning, God's speaking to you, been hanging out in the wrong crowd and it's not going well. God today is extending an invitation. He wants to touch death in your life and turn it to life. But you got to receive it. You got to choose life. No one's looking right now, but you know this morning you're not on the right team. You're in the wrong crowd. And you know that you need God's help. You need his compassion to change your life. Without anyone looking, when I count this morning to three, could I have you raise your hand? We're going to pray with you in just a moment. And then after we pray together this morning, Pastor Glenn is going to come and give us some instructions. You're here this morning, and you know that you're in the wrong crowd. Maybe, you slid back into this crowd. You know you've been in the crowd of life, but you've gone back into the wrong direction. And you're here today, and you want to make that choice. You want to make that choice to choose life. When I count to three, could you raise your hand? One, two, three. Come on, in this room right now. Raise it all over this room. Come on. All over. Come on, see that hand. See that hand. All over. Come on, someone else will see that hand. Come on, don't let this moment pass by. God's here right now. See the hand right there. See the hand right there. Come on. You know you're not in the right crowd. But today Jesus is reaching out to you. He wants to change your life. You're ready to receive that. I see that hand back there. All over this room. You can put your hand down. I see it now. You're here this morning. You're in the right crowd. You just need Jesus to help you. You need some things in your life that represent death to turn to life. You need his help today. If that's you, can you just lift your hand? You're saved and you're following the right crowd, but you need his help right now. Could you lift your hand? Wow. All over this room. Oh, come on. All over this room. All over this room. We need you, Jesus. We just need one touch from you. Can we all say this prayer together? Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you gave your life for my life. I receive today the touch from heaven, the forgiveness of my sins, come into my life, change my heart. I choose life today. I want to follow you and the crowd of life. I need you today, Lord. I can't do it on my own. I want to change my life in your wonderful name. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now, you've raised your hand. You just need his help. I want everyone here to stand together this morning. You raise your hand. You just need the Lord to help you.